So that's what I'm going to talk to you today about. As a matter of fact, you can write this down. Hear and be healed. Now that is, you know, it's two things. A lot of people want one or the other, but you know, you got to hear and be healed. Okay? Matter of fact, look in Luke 15. We're going to hang in Luke for a little while towards, you know, as the Lord, the Spirit of God says go. Luke 5:15. Hallelujah. Y'all ready to hear the word?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. In 15 it says, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and the great multitudes came together to hear. You're a great multitudes that came to hear, right? They got some that's still propped up on the couch or in the bed. Okay. Like I said, great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. If you're on Facebook, you can find out who's sick. They got it. They say it. I got this. I got that. I don't want it. And I'm glad he's doing it on Facebook instead of being in front of me and said, ah, God. You see what I'm saying? But I don't claim none of that stuff. You can have it. And if it starts coming on me, you can have my part. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to walk by God's word and walk in the victory by his word, by being obedient to his word. And you know, I mean, this weekend, or I call it weekend, Sunday evening, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I was around some anointed men of God. And just being in their presence, I could tell. I mean, these guys have been in there 40 years, and you know, and I was hungry for more of what they were saying about the Word of God. And just encouraging, and it was uplifting, and it was awesome. And I want to do that for you today. Because why? You came, now you're going to hear, so don't be thinking about the pot roast or where we're going to eat after church. Don't be thinking about this. Don't be thinking about that. Think about God's word. Delete everything else that's in there that's trying to keep God's word from getting in. Don't open the door to the devil. That's the biggest problem with Christians. They open the door to the devil. Because they can't see it spiritually, what God says. So we have to understand that they came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Hearing and also, what else it said? Be healed. You coming in, there's anointing in this place for whatever it is that you're going through to take that away. But then you also, it says, they came to hear, okay? We hear the word, and then what? We have to believe what God's word says, and we are healed, right? We got to believe it, that we receive it. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, look in Luke 6:17 now. 6:17. And I'm going to explain why God gave me these scriptures right off the bat. And he said, in Luke 6:17, it says, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon and who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. It didn't say they were hoping they would get healed. They came to be healed, to hear what Jesus had to say, and to be healed. Oh, I hope he can do something. I hope when I go to Hope Chapel this Sunday, they can do something for me. Don't come in here like that. You come in here, I tell you what, when they mess up on your bill, you don't say, well, I hope they don't mess it. I hope they can straighten this out. No, you go to them and say, hey, this bill ain't right. You got to change. This ain't, look, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. You charged me too much. Same thing with the devil. We got to argue with the devil. Speak to that. And so he's got to flee, right?
Amen.
We cannot just sit there and say, oh, that's okay, devil. No. That's your enemy.
That's right.
You don't sleep with the enemy. You see what I'm saying? We got to speak to that situation that's going on in your body. It's got to go in the name of Jesus. Now. But a lot of people will say that, but then they'll just go lay on the couch. It says right here, they had to come, right? They came together to hear. Well, I can watch it on TV. It's not the same. There's not an anointing coming out of your TV. You know, if you get close enough to old timing, once you get close enough, your hair on your arm would stand up. But that's not the anointing. The anointing is in God's house with his people that come in, the body of Christ, can go out and be the church.
Amen.
This is just a building for the body of Christ. And that's what you are, the body of Christ. So then when we go out of this building, we become the church. Everybody says, well, I don't have to go to church to get saved. No, you don't. You can get saved. I mean, I saw Billy Graham on TV, black and white TV, with my sister holding the antenna. I got saved. I said what he said. Then I went to my parents, my dad, and I asked him about all of that. What did I just do? I mean, I was 7 years old. And he explained it to me, what I just did. He said, but you're going to need to go up front at the church. Yeah? Were you coming with me? He said, no. You made, that's your decision, not mine. He said, I'll be here for you, though. One Sunday I got up, and the pastor said, come on up for salvation. I sat there with him and said, I ain't going up there. There's some big people up there. And I was in a Baptist church, you know, the little tithes that come up about right there. And, you know, I mean, I wasn't going up there. So next Sunday, did the same thing. I looked over at Daddy and Daddy said, it's up to you, son. So I went up front, gave my heart to Jesus, got baptized at Redwood Baptist Church. It was about this big. But I can tell you, I gave my heart to the Lord. I let Jesus be the Lord of my life in a little Baptist church out in the middle of nowhere in Ethel, Louisiana. If you don't know where that is, it's just north of Baton Rouge. Baker, Zachary, Slaughter, Ethel. Little dot. Hallelujah. But you see what I'm saying is that Jesus should be our life. And we need to come and hear Jesus' word, what Jesus has for you, what he does. You know, I mean, it'd be so much easier for me just to find something on the internet and preach a message off the internet. It could be so much easier. No, I'll wait on the Lord. What the Lord wants me to give to you for that particular time and that day and whatever it is that you're needing at that time. And sure, it makes you gray-headed waiting on God. God, church is tomorrow. I need something today. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And God gives it to you. And when God started working with me on Thursday for this message, it was an awesome message that Gwen did Thursday night. It was awesome. And I mean, it meant a lot. But you saw what it said in Luke 6:17, that, you know, they came to hear and to be healed of their diseases. You know, I can remember. When I was down in Orange Beach with all the other pastors down there, and we were talking, and God was working, giving me little words. You know how he can give you a little niblet here, and a little bit here, and a little kiblet there, and a little bit there. Kiblet and bit. But he was doing that, and the whole time I was down there. But Thursday night, God kind of like, here it is. This is your message. What? What's my message? It was when we had the healing line. People were coming up to get prayed for. Somebody said, on a Thursday night? Well, yeah, Jesus don't take a day off. Like people take a day off. But Jesus is there all the time. He's there with us all the time. He is there to meet our needs when we line up with what his word says. You know, and I can remember God speaking that word when I was praying on the people that were here. And I was saying, you know, God was saying, hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. So they had to hear what I was, what I believe God was wanting me to pray for them and lay hands on, and they could hear it. Hear and be healed. You know, and it just kept bubbling up until I just started working on that, and I went to my aunt's birthday party in Zachary, and you know, God was still on the way. It was good that we were on a dark interstate highway with a big bridge, and God could speak while I was running down the road, you know, and he was telling me all kind of stuff. And you know, I got home and I just wrote that down, hear and be healed. So I started looking up some scriptures, and God gave me those scriptures that we were talking about, that in Luke 5:15 it says the multitudes came to hear and be healed. So you're here today. When you walk out that door, you should be healed of whatever was going on in your body. If it's sinus, if it's a leg, if it's arm, it's shoulder, it's headache, it's whatever it is. Because you press through, because the devil said, you don't need to go there today. You don't need to be in church today. Why? Because you just don't need to be there. You get there, they're going to try to lay hands on you, and they're going to do this, they're going to tell you some things out of the Bible. You know it ain't true. That's what the devil does. So guess what? We just lay in the bed. Let's see, we can watch the rerun of the LSU game, or we could do this game or that. See, the Saints don't play after 2 o'clock today. So what I'm saying is that we need to understand that Jesus said to what? To come and hear and be healed of God's word. You know, and those scriptures that we were talking about in Luke 5:15 said the multitudes came to hear and be healed. And back to the same story. Well, I hope I'm healed. Now, what kind of attitude is that? You really want to be healed?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's nothing going on in my body, but I want to see you healed.
Amen.
The same thing with each one of us in here. You ought to be able to want to see your neighbor healed.
Yeah.
You want to speak life into them. You want to speak God's word into them so that they can be healed.
Yeah.
That's called a team. T-E-A-M. Because there's no Lone Rangers in heaven. I can tell you that right now. Somebody said, well, I'll go over this over here where they got so-and-so. He's a healing minister. I'm going to go over there. Well, good. Glory to God. Well, whenever you get through running around, save you some money, you could be right in the house where God says for you to be. And so why is that? So that you can get the anointing that's in that place, wherever God said for you to be. You see what I'm saying? This may not be the place God wants you. It may be over there. But if God is working on your heart to say, be in a place, be there. Catch the anointing, because you're going to get some of the, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, when you eat some banana pudding and everything's gone, but there's still a little some around the edge, you start raking that glass bowl or whatever it is it's in, and just raking all you can. You may get one little teaspoon. That's all you get when you're not in the right place of God. When you're in the right place, when God says, I want you here, I want you there, I want you at this place, I want you here. Get hooked up. Guess what? The whole bowl's yours. You get the whole blessing. You don't get a piece of the blessing. Why is that? Because you're in the right place where God can work with you. Because God's looking for you. And God's got your address. It's like if it's here, he's 1797. Okay, they ought to be here. I got a blessing for them. Where are they at? Or they could be, you might be at another church. He might be over there waiting. Where are they at? I got this blessing for them right here. Where are they? You see what I'm saying? God wants us to come to hear and be healed. You say, my body doesn't hurt. I don't have no sickness on me. Well, it could be reconciliation with your family. It could be unforgiveness in your life. It could be whatever it is. Your finances may be bottomed out. It may, you know, whatever it is, God wants you in the right place so that you can hear and be healed. Because I can tell you one thing, if you're not in a right relationship with your family or friends or whatever, there's healing need to be done. You see what I'm saying? And also, your finances won't be just right. When they're not just right, you know, I heard somebody say that the other day. They said, well, I ain't got no money to tithe. Huh? Okay. That's fine with you. That's between you and God. If you say, I ain't got no money, you ain't going to get no money. I can tell you that. You got to plant a seed somewhere. You see what I'm saying? So we need to understand that what God's word says, we need to go by and do what he says. And guess what? We'll see it on harvest. I don't know about y'all, but I like it. I used to live on a farm. And when the corn would come up, and you know, and they make the little thing on the top and the little ears, I don't know what the ears, they start popping out on there. And then, you know, you go squeeze them and see if they're ready and all that. You know, you plant it, you work that ground, you planted the seed, and it pops up, and you got a harvest. So we have to understand that, you know, a lot of people want to be healed, especially the ones that are really going through some pain or going through a bad situation. They're wanting to be healed, right? But they don't want to hear anything, and people like seldom, they seldom get anything from it. You see what I'm saying? They want to be healed, but they don't want to hear anything. God, you said your word says you can heal me. Well, you got to also hear the word. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Because you only do one hearing to it, you're going to have little faith. You have hearing and hearing. That's what I want. I want to keep hearing the word of God. You know, and I was praying about this before church started today. And it was like God was showing me. He said, hold out your hands. So I held out my hands. He said, I'm going to anoint your hands to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I'm an old country boy from Ethel, Louisiana. You see, there ain't no such thing to God, a little old country boy from Ethel, Louisiana. No, we're powerful warriors for God. Amen. The mentality that I was thinking was, I'm just a little poor country boy. No, I had to take that jacket off. I had to put on the glorious jacket of God. I had to put on the jacket that God had for me, the glory, to show that I have the power. He has given me the power, right? He said it in his word before he ascended into heaven. He gave all power in the name of Jesus. So I have the power to do what needs to be done according to God's word. I can speak God's word and things have got to change. You say, well, you're not that powerful. Why not? God says I have the power. If he says I, now just because you say you don't have the power, guess what? Get out of my way, Satan. Because God says I have the power. Same thing with each one of you. You have the power to move on through whatever's going on in your life. So don't be going like through a tunnel. Well, I don't see the light at the other end. Well, keep going. Don't stop. God gave me that when we passed through the tunnel in Mobile. I was going through there and I said, I ought to toot the horn. I was having a good time. My wife over there, you know, she'd look up. She didn't want to turn her head, but her eyes were going back and forth, to and fro. And I said, I ought to toot the horn. She'll jump in to see. But you see what I'm saying? But, you know, I mean, we have a good time in the Lord. We're going through the tunnel, and I could see the other end. And I was just praising the Lord, going through that tunnel. Radio went off because, you know, ain't nothing. We have satellite radio, and you just went out. Can't get nothing in a tunnel. Same thing with our lives. We can't get anything in the tunnel. We got to keep going through the tunnel and get on the other side. You ever notice when you're coming into the tunnel, it gets so bright? That's what we got to do. Keep going through the tunnel. Every one of us go through a tunnel in our life. Something's wanting to hold us back into that tunnel. But God says, just keep on going. Move on forward. You know, and like I was saying, God said to hold out your hands. I'm going to anoint your hands. He can do yours the same way. Anoint your hands for that healing power that you need. Why is that? Because you're listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, go lay hands on that person and they'll be healed. And now we know we can do that in the name of Jesus. And because we have the power. And you notice in there, it didn't talk about, they're having a healing anointing. But I can tell you what, God changed it for me. He said, you got the healing power. The people of Hope Chapel have the healing power to lay hands on people, and they will be healed. You see what I'm saying? And the same thing, we have to be careful. You just don't let somebody lay hands on you. You don't know what kind of power. Now, I'm not talking about the people of Hope Chapel. I'm talking about people out there. Oh, we believe in laying on hands. But, you know, if you get hope, you get well. No, I will get well. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, right? So we got to understand, when they lay hands on you, whatever they passing through is going to go into you, into your spiritual realm. So we have to be very careful, you know, especially if you got somebody that don't go to church and not getting into the Word and building up their strength in the spiritual realm, that's not very liable to lay hands on you. Oh, I read the Bible every day. I know what, I can read it from Genesis to Revelation, but do you practice it? I mean, I could have told you I went to med school. Would you want me to do surgery on you?
No
you wouldn't. Why is that? Because I haven't been practicing doctor work. I haven't been in surgery to operate on anybody. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to be careful. We have to understand that when Jesus, the Holy Spirit, anointed your hands, he anointed it with power. When you say it, I want everybody in here, we're going to say power. And when I count to three, we say power. One, two, three.
Power.
Okay. Now, if I told you that you have $1 million in your checking account, some of you may already, this be your second million. But you see what I'm saying? All right, you got $1 million in your checking account. Now what you going to say? Praise God. Would you say it like that? Praise God. I got $1 million in my checking account. I think you'd do a dance. You'd do a jig. You'd be done. You'd be, ho-ho, I got $1 million. You see what I'm saying? Now, let's turn it over to power. We've got the power. I got the power. I got power. Jesus gave me power in his name. How enthused would you think that would be? How powerful do you think that would be? I got power. I got power. I really do. I got power. I got power in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you. How about a little Volkswagen horn? Beep, beep. Has anybody ever gone and not even think you'd be running next to a railroad track? You ever heard one of them horns go off? I mean, I was on the ceiling with my claws in the top when it went off. And I heard a little car call somebody. I was at a red light daydreaming, I guess, and it turned green. And somebody, beep, beep. But we went up to that railroad track, and that switch engine, it come on there, and it tooted his horn. And I said, that's power.
Yeah.
The same thing that's in you. You're not a little Volkswagen. You got an engine. You got that big horn that's going to knock things out of the way. I mean, just like when a lion roars. What do you think the enemy does when a lion roars in the jungle? They run, and they can get so deep with it, it affects the antelope to where he can catch that antelope a whole lot easier. But I tell you what, you've got it in on the inside of you, so don't let it get rusty. And, you know, use your power that God has given you. And some of it may be laying hands on the sick, and they will recover. And whatever it is that we need to understand that God, we have to say yes to God. Too many people, well, I'll take care of that tomorrow. No, God wants it now. You see, yeah, I mean, it Christians need to, as a whole, come out of that mindset that I'm a nobody. I'm broke. I ain't got no money. Sure, your checking account may show you don't. But you get in God's word and start believing what his word says and do what it says, you'll start seeing things change in your life. You're gonna start smelling the roses a whole lot better. You're not going to smell dead manure. You're going to start smelling things better because your spiritual eyes are going to be open to the things of God. You're going to see things a whole lot better because we need to understand. We need to hear what God's Word says. And then when you take it home, you study what God's Word and you'll be healed. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Not just because you come to Hope Chapel. Not just because you go to this church or this or that and the other or whatever it is. No, it's because you are being obedient to God by His Word. And you stick with His Word to the end. And you'll see the change that He has in your life. And you know, we need to understand that God gives us direction. He'll speak to each one of us differently, but it lines up with His Word. And we have to understand when God says to do it, that means do it. And then if we don't do it, then we wonder, where's God? Now, where are we? We need to keep ourselves focused on what God says. Matter of fact, let's look in John 14 in verse 12. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Before we read that, though, I just want to read this to you. You know that it's a lot of times that from churches, they're preaching half-truths. And a lot of time, a half-truth is a whole lot more dangerous than a lie. Because somebody can grab something that doesn't line up with God's Word, and what happens? They get a half-truth. And they start believing a half-truth instead of the full Word of God. So that's what I'm saying. Probably the lie would be a whole lot better than a half-truth. Because I've heard so many saying this and this and that and the other. And I said, well, where is that in the Word? Because, you know, people tell you stuff, you know, but it's a lot of time it's man-made laws. Man-made stuff that comes up. They might have heard this, they might have heard that. And, you know, we just got to be very, very very careful. You know, and I could tell you, we're going to get to the scripture. But I really believe that God, once you start getting a hold of God's Word, He's going to renew your mind to His Word and not man-made theology. A lot of times man stuff wants to try to tell you something that doesn't line up with God's Word. And this is like I told you when I was studying at Rhema, and I had to renew my mind because, or delete a lot of stuff because I was taught wrong. Taught, they were skimming, I guess you would say. But then I had to get into God's Word and I saw the fullness and I had to go into church and I was being taught the Word and not doctrine, a man-made doctrine. There's so much bondage I guess you'd say like denominational stuff. They got their rules and they got God's rules. But their rules come first. You see what I'm saying? We need to understand that God has set us free. You see what I'm saying? But we need to understand that God's Word is the truth and we stand by God's Word. And you know, we need to understand that Jesus was ministering and nobody else could even minister that way. That's wrong. Jesus gave us the power. He gave us the power. See, Jesus, a lot of people think that, well, the only way I can get touched is Jesus comes and touches me and I get healed. No, not now. Jesus has, we're Jesus' hands. We're Jesus' mouth. We are Jesus here on earth, but doing His work here on earth. You see what I'm saying? Doing Jesus' work here on earth. Matter of fact, we're going to get to John 14, 12. Did I say? Yes. And it says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. A lot of people say it, but do they really believe in Jesus? The works that I do, he will do also. Now, the country boy in me is saying, the picture that I see is, Jesus said, the works that I do, he will do also. He, us, we will do also, right? Is that what y'all got? And it says, and greater works than these he will do. Greater works than this he will do, because I go to the Father. In other words, Jesus trusted us enough to give us that much power. Now, don't be like some of the cereal brand that go off in the la-la land, you know, with the Fruit Loops and all that, and they take that power to extreme. Remember, we have a guideline. We have to stay lined up with God's Word. That's our guideline. We don't move outside of that. And you know, you can get out there and they can start telling you all kind of stuff. So we have to understand that we need to stay focused on God's Word. And I'm going to read this scripture again. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Well, I know when I was small, my dad would say, I'm going to run to town, pick up some gas for the tractor, and I'll be back. Take care of things. He gave me that power to take care of things. Not to beat up on my little sister or anything like that. You see what I'm saying? He gave me that power, that authority to finish plowing the property. Their acreage in the back, or fixing the fence, or bringing in the cows, or bringing out the cows, whatever it is, he gave me that authority to do till he came back. What did Jesus say? I have given you this. If you believe in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. But I, Jesus, will be coming back. When he comes back, is he going to be satisfied with the work we did while he was gone? You see what I'm saying? Is he going to be satisfied for the work that we did? And like God would say, what did you do with my son? What did you do with the name of Jesus? What did you do while I was gone? You see what I'm saying? He has given us that power and he has given us that authority. We need to start working on our families. We need to be working on other people that are outside of these walls that are not living for Jesus. We need to, we've got busyness to do. We've got things we've got to do. Not to be running off doing our own thing, because would Jesus be satisfied in the things that he wants us to do? He has given us, he's given us orders to do some things. I am gone. You have the power. You have the authority. Now go and take care of it. Are we fulfilling God's plan in our life? Or are we just making ourselves happy? You see what I'm saying? We need to focus on God. We need to hear and be healed. And like I said, healed could be just about anything that's going on in your life. Are you fulfilling God's plan, his plan in your life for you? Don't go over there and tell your husband or your boyfriend or whatever, I don't think you're fulfilling God's plan. No, we got to fulfill our own plan first. You got to leave them alone. What'd you say? That's my husband. That's my wife. Doesn't God's word say you have to work out your own salvation? A lot of times wives will bow and scrape and everything to their husbands. And a lot of times the husbands be scrounging and everything for their wives. I can tell you one thing. I've seen a lot of husbands take their wives out of church. And they've never been back to church. I've seen wives take their husbands out of church. Why is that? Because they're not wanting to serve God. And we got to be careful and understand we serve God. My wife knows God comes first. And I know God comes first in her life. If she don't feel like cooking, guess what? I cook my own. I might make me a little breakfast at night, but I'll cook. I don't say, woman, where's my food? She's not a slave. She's my helper. And we have to work together. She may be tired. She may be exhausted. Because I know. So guess what? I cook some. You want some of this? No. Peanut butter and jelly? No. But you see what I'm saying? We don't want to bring down our helpers. And you the same thing at work where you are. You don't want them to bring you down. So we need to understand that we do serve an awesome God. And we need to hear His word. And we need to work and to hear His word, to come together, hear His word, and be healed of all the situation that's going on in our life. You know, we want to say, you know, if we're to do the work that Jesus did, we must believe what Jesus said to us. And if you don't understand, it's not going to be like at your workplace where if you don't do it the first time right, the boss is going to fire you or get rid of you or reprimand you or whatever. No, Jesus wants to walk with us, to help us, to do what His plan is. And all we've got to do is ask the Holy Spirit, because if you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in me. He lives in you. So we have the Holy Spirit. It's ready at all times. But a lot of times we got to ask Him. But we need to understand to hear and be healed. To hear God's word over and over and over and over. It's not like they said on the war room, occasional Christians. We're full-blooded Christians, or we're occasional, just whenever we feel like doing whatever. Yeah. Well, this God thing, you know. I can tell you one thing. God's coming back. And God's coming back for a glorious church without spot. Or a lot of people say, well, yeah, Jesus is coming back. Yeah, He's coming back for a glorious church. Anybody know what glorious is? And everybody knows, without spot or wrinkle. I don't know about you, but I had a little spot on my shirt. My wife dug on that thing trying to get that spot out. That's enough. You see what I'm saying? She wanted me to look good. Where I was going to do something there, and she said, oh, you got a little spot right there. Oh. So she went and got something at the store and took care of it. I walked in there just like it was. I said, I don't see it. But you see what I'm saying? God, or Jesus, is coming back soon for a church. Right? A glorious church. Not just Hope Chapel or whatever church is in town. No, He's coming back for a glorious church. One that's on fire for Him. Hungry for more of the Lord. If you ain't hungry for the Lord here, that's all I can say. Find where God wants you. If you're not hungry, because we're going to serve a feast when you come into this place, we want you to leave out of here full of God so that you can walk out those doors and you can be the church. A lot of them walk out of here crawling on the ground. I just don't know what I'm going to do. You didn't hear the word? What did the word just tell you? You have the power and the authority in Jesus' name. So get up and let's go. Let's go. We don't have time to sit there and say, oh man, I just don't feel good today. You just don't know what's going on. Oh man, UL lost last night. Just for that, I'm not even going to church today. In two overtime. You see what I'm saying? No, devil, I don't care how, if they played four like they did last week, I don't care. I'm still going to church because UL ain't going to get me to heaven. And LSU's not going to get me to heaven. The University of Alabama is not going to get me to heaven. Only Jesus. And we got to understand, I want to be His servant. I want Him to say, well done, my faithful servant. And that's what we have to do. We have to get a hold to His power of His word that we can use. And don't let the devil put something in your mind that you can't do something. You can do whatever that word says you can do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.